Whoa, is this the new copier?
It sure is, Dennis. They installed it this morning.
Can't believe corporate actually listened to our request.
Yep, I guess Christmas came early this year. This thing rules. It collates, staples pages, no more stapling by hand.
Hmm? Yeah, Santa should have wrapped it.
What?
The printer. Santa should have wrapped it when he gave it early.
Oh. This is going to make our lives so much easier.
I know, this is so much nicer than the old copier.
Yeah, I know. And Santa and all his elves must have worked so hard on it, and then they gave it to us early.
It's a very nice printer, Tracy. Just make sure no one copies their rear end, eh?
Oh, that naughty old elf must be one mean bastard to give us this so early.
What?
Did I stutter, Megan? Santa Claus.
Okay, it looks like the printer has gotten everyone a little too excited.
Of course it did.
Everyone just go back to work.
TBTL!
I have never heard someone say so many wrong things, one after the other, consecutively, in a row.
If there's a better use for the internet, I haven't found it.
It's embarrassing and it's gross, but at least it's kind of funny.
This one was created from a wooden vase from Fiji. Unsure what type of timber, but it's a ladies' bong for ladies.
What do you say we go out and get some Carvel?
I got the time if you got the diapers.
Okay, here we go, everybody. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
Everything about them just makes me nervous.
My name is Luke Burbank. I am your host.
There's a Hidden Valley Ranch party in my mouth.
We are coming to you once again from a room at the Marriott City Center here in downtown Minneapolis, Minnesota. Just steps from the Target Center. And what else is out there? Let's see. Well, I know that there's an Italian restaurant called Zillo that I have now eaten at, not once, but two nights in a row. I was chastised mildly by the server last night for ordering the exact same meal. And I mean, like, down to the same salad, the same amount of pepper on the vegetarian lasagna. The server was like, when she found out that I was having the same thing, she was, as she applied the pepper, she said, "Did you have pepper on this last night?" And I've never felt more basic. So anyway, welcome to the new character called Basic Burbank that I will be inhabiting while here in the Twin Cities. We have a great show for you. It's episode 2966 in a collector series. I know I got the numbering off yesterday. I apologize. I skipped ahead by about 10 or so shows. I'm just an optimist that way, but now I realize the error of my way, and we are on 2966. So that's what we're going with.
Yeah!
And it's going to be a fun program because I had one heck of an experience yesterday.
Let the fun begin.
I went to Paisley Park. That is right.
Why don't you purify yourself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka?
The late Prince's residence and studio space and creative haven and all around aesthetically confusing location out in the absolute middle of nowhere, Minnesota. So I'll give you a full report on how that went. Plus, we have emails and V-mails, and we have this guy, longest-running Cobro of the show, known for his drawings of tall ships. He's here physically in this hotel room with me, which smelled great when I walked in, by the way. He was kind enough to grab coffee and some donuts. And while he's physically here, he is mentally living in
Scatman's world.
He is Andrew Walsh. And I say good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Luke. I think we're all mentally and physically in Scatman's world. My argument, if you'll allow it, is that...
And I will.
This is Scatman's world. We're all living in it. You can't not be in Scatman's world. There are people who don't know they're in Scatman's world, and that's okay. I envy them. They have an awakening that's right around the corner that I wish I could have for the first time again.
You've taken the... I don't want to say red pill because that's infringing on some kind of matrix.
Mm-hmm. I've taken the scat pill.
You've taken this. Well, I also didn't want to say scat pill. Because I didn't want to.
Sounds more of a suppository.
I didn't want to know about your late night internet searches.
Right. Yeah.
How are you feeling about our upcoming live show at the Minnesota State Fair, which will be happening in about, I don't know, 2-3 hours from now? We're recording today's episode here in your hotel room. but we will be recording at the State Fair, and then that will be Friday's episode of the show. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling all right. You know, we were joking around on the show yesterday about how we have a bunch of live shows. We're doing kind of like five live shows in like a month and a half or something that'll be ending in Seattle on October 4th on the boat. And we were joking about how by the time Seattle rolls around, I'll be like, oh, whatever, man. And I already feel like by number two, we did the live thing festival.
The timeline up.
Yeah, exactly. Dang on it. Saturday. Sorry about that. I just kicked you. You know, so
we're spooning the thing. By the way, if you guys don't know, when I say in Andrew's room, I mean in Andrew's bed, in Andrew's room.
I'm going to let the listeners decide because it is a theater of the mind.
Yeah.
Who's the big spoon?
Actually, it's not what you would expect, people.
More, basically... I'm looking forward. I'm really looking forward to like seeing the fair. I'm a little bit bummed that I won't have more time to hang out at the fair before we do the show because I feel like I could collect more experiences and then bring them to the stage, Luke.
Yes,
which is what the listeners want.
Absolutely.
Of course, what my people want. Unfortunately, the schedule won't allow for that. I think the show will be good. I am just enamored by our guest Brandi Brown, who is I've been following her on Twitter, and she goes to the fair. Like, I mean, she doesn't just attend the fair. She lives the fair.
Do you know that she has been creating, she does this crop art thing, and she's been creating a crop art Heathcliff.
Do you know that it's not just crop art?
I don't mean from Wuthering Heights, by the way.
No, I mean
Heathcliff, no one should.
Do you know that that's only the tip of the Heathcliff iceberg with her? Go back in her timeline. She is obsessed with Heathcliff. She is making Heathcliff memes and has been for quite some time. It's on my list of things to talk about with her. I want to know. She is a fascinating person. So I'm looking forward to the show. I think it's going to be good. I don't want to look past it, but I do want to say I'm also looking forward to just being at the fair afterwards. I plan on – you have to rush back here for some PRPD-related things. I'm thinking about just hanging out at the fair for a long time tonight. I haven't even looked there. I mean, what if there's a demolition derby or something going on?
Oh, man. I might have to blow off my PRPD responsibility.
You have to do a fireside chat tonight.
I know I do. But
that's a real thing, by the way. I don't know if we talked about that on the show yesterday.
We did.
Okay. Literally have to do something called a fireside chat.
I just realized something. I had no idea what this joke – you relayed a joke to me from our former boss, who's also here at this festival. I keep calling it a festival. I did that like three times
yesterday. It's a boring festival.
Yes.
It's a fine conference, but
festival. My brain cannot keep up with the fact that we were at the Thing Festival. We were now at the PRPD.
Yeah.
Our former boss, one Steve Nelson, a.k.a. This guy. Oh, boy. This is what happens when you find an audio drop in the Alps.
I'm excited for this. There it is.
That's what you go into battle. You go into battle with the El Ropo drop.
Wow.
You have not the El Ropo drop you want. Our boss, former boss, Mr. Steve Nelson, aka El Ropo, he's here and he mentioned that he's going to swing by the fireside chat and he said he was going to cosplay as FDR. And
that's right. You didn't get it.
It's because FDR would have fireside chat.
Yeah, I think that's where the term comes from.
I thought he was having an aphasia.
I was like maybe I misheard him and was translating his joke incorrectly.
That is the weirdest thing to dress up for.
Well, I'll tell you what, the weirder thing is I'm coming dressed as Teddy Roosevelt. So that's really going to be strange.
Yeah. You're going to be rough riding into that.
I'm going to have a big mustache.
Anyway, I am also very excited to check out the State Fair. I have never been to, that I can remember, the Minnesota State Fair. I've been to the Iowa State Fair, which I found out is that's the big rivalry here for State Fair supremacy. Minnesota versus Iowa. Apparently Texas.
Yeah, Texas is in the mix,
but
too.
I don't, unless peace and love. We have many listeners in Texas. I find Texas to be a fascinating state. I love San Antonio. I love Marfa. I love Austin. But I just don't feel like, to me, state fairness feels like it's an upper Midwest phenomenon. I don't know why. I'm not saying that like the folks in Texas don't have livestock, and that it just, there's something, the state fair feels like a thing that should be happening in either Iowa or Minnesota to me, and I cannot explain why.
I feel like a Texas state fair also seems real to me. It just seems like it's going to be a different flavor fair. You know, like you say, there's going to be livestock everywhere, but you're going to have a lot more kind of, it just feels like more buck and bronco style, like livestock kind of dusty fair there in Texas. It seems right to me. certainly. And it certainly seems like for some of the other culture that goes along with it, like, again, like I'm obsessed with demolition derbies or
you know what it
have
is?
You.
I'm sorry to jump in on this, but to me, I feel like Texas, and I'm just grossly stereotyping here, but I feel like most of Texas lives in a perpetual state of agrarian society.
Yeah, right. Well,
it's a state. It's a rolling state fair, whereas in this part of the country, it feels like once a year, everybody comes out, deep fries their hand, mm-hmm. gnaws it off over the course of a month, mm-hmm. And judges a butter cow contest.
Right. Like And I think every state has a state fair. So whoever I say here, it's going to be insulting to them. And I think, you know, you can make the argument for why they're good state fairs. But like Connecticut State Fair doesn't, you know what I mean? Like Texas makes more sense to me than, say, Connecticut or like the Massachusetts State Fair. Right?
I mean, and honestly, the Washington State Fair, a.k.a. the Puyallup.
Which I'm representing on my shirt today.
You can do it at a walk. You can do it at a gallop. Mm-hmm. You can do it real fast. But be careful that your heart don't palpitate. Just don't be late. Do the Puyallup. I messed up some part of that.
Wow.
Or they just wrote it in the worst scansion of all time, which
or
is
both.
Very possible. But yeah, no, like, I mean, honestly, I'd put the Washington State Fair right up there with the Massachusetts State mm-hmm. Fair in terms of state fairs that don't scan.
Yeah, or California State Fair.
Right.
Again, all these places have state fairs and they're fine in their own way.
And they all have, like, you know, again, agrarian culture and people go there and judge whatever.
So now have you come back around in this context and realizing, oh, yeah, it makes sense that Texas has a large state fair that they're very proud of.
Well,
it's the culture.
Yeah, but this is the thing. I forget who I was talking about this with, somebody at this conference, or as I like to call it, festival. And they were saying that, you know, they were like talking about how Texas is in the running. The three, the biggies mm-hmm. in their mind were Minnesota, Iowa, and Texas. And they were like, Texas is very proud of their state fair. And I was like, really? Knock me over with a feather.
Yeah.
Texas is proud of something from Texas?
Right. Yeah. They're anyway, proud of dangerous weather patterns.
We'd like to thank our former Texas listeners who have recently stopped listening and donating.
No, I like Texas.
But no, I love Texas, but it's like to me, excuse me. By the way, Andrew, I want to thank you for providing me with a donut. It was so delicious, and thank you for this coffee. But you said you said I don't want to become a donut guy.
That's right.
We
can't be donut men.
You may have unleashed a kraken in me. That is becoming a donut guy. Like, I do not eat donuts for breakfast typically, mm-hmm. but that was amazing. And the listeners are getting to hear the effects of it right now. But that was so good. I can see why some people start their day with a donut.
I eat donuts like you for breakfast. That's what I yelled at my donut before I ate it. Let's talk. I want to talk about a couple of things here.
Okay.
Like, the fair is so much more interesting, but I want to talk about this hotel room, and I want to talk about donut culture.
And don't let me forget to circle back to your Bonvoy rant.
Oh, yeah, at some point.
I ended an ad with Bonvoy. Do you know that?
No, one of our TBTL spots?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
At some point, people will be hearing an ad where I sign off by saying Bonvoy.
Oh, my God.
Which is probably some kind of trademark violation, although, honestly, Marriott, you should just be happy that you got a free Bonvoy mention.
Yeah, in fact, I want to go in the opposite direction. I want to stop giving them are you trying to turn down your headphone? Oh, you're trying to turn down your microphone. I see what's going on. You have some glottal issues, man.
I'm rolling in the deep.
Would you want to stop down for a second?
No.
Do you need the Heimlich?
No.
Do you want to do that thing where you lay on the ground
well,
and I try to
Well, now you
like,
ruined it for them.
You.
Now they know you're the big spoon.
So
I love the idea that this whole time we've been spooning and you've been the big spoon and then you just ruined it by talking because you're in the perfect position to Heimlich me.
I'm sick of being the big spoon. I had to get out of my – I was doing a lot of work up here in my room yesterday morning, but I really – I mean the thing about staying in a hotel room like this is I really enjoy having housekeeping come. So I wanted to get out of here and I think I was able to get out of here like around, I don't know, let's say 11 or 11:30 yesterday. No, it would have been earlier than that. It was like mid-morning. Anyway, I was like, I better go somewhere else to do my work so they can come in here and clean the room. And what I found was this little donut shop, which is kind of it's very cute. It's not like an old school, like Dunkin' Donuts. It's like a little bit more precious than that, but I like it. It like, just has a good vibe inside, and it's in one of the skyways here, not far at all. I wish I could remember the name of it. I'd give them a plug, but you'll find it. So I go there to do some work, and I only order a coffee, but you sit in a donut shop for like 45 minutes doing your work, drinking your coffee. Eventually, that donut smell is going to get to you. And so I was like, all right, I'll get a donut. And I got one. And then today, I'm like, well, I need something to eat. It's going to be a really busy day. The second you get here and we start recording, the day is going to get away from me.
And they don't have any food at the state fair.
They do not have any food at the state fair.
I mean, that's a food desert.
That's right. But again, I don't know if I'm going to have time to eat beforehand, setting up, all this stuff. So I was like, and also I just wanted some of that sweet, sweet coffee. It's not sweet coffee, but it's good coffee. And
Cardigan Donut.
There it is, Cardigan. Yeah. See, it's a nice little logo.
I dig their logos.
And so anyway, so I go down there today, and then I'm like, I should get Luke a coffee. And then I was like, should we get donuts? You're like, yeah, let's do some donuts. So now it's day two of me being a donut boy.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, man.
Donut boy.
Yeah, I will turn into a donut boy if I keep on doing this. Like, I am not – there are certain people who – can just eat donut. They could become donut boys, and it's not going to matter to them because they have a certain kind of.
We are not those people.
Body type, exactly. And I look like a guy who eats a donut for breakfast every day. I don't want to start eating a donut for breakfast every day.
I'm peering around the room here, and I'm noticing that you have the exact same layout as my room.
Do you have a refrigerator, though?
No, I do not.
Huh.
I don't save it
for the Bonvoy rant.
But I also have this like two twin bed situation, or I mean, they're not, I guess, what would you say?
Two double beds, I would say.
Okay, a double. So it's like smaller than a queen, right?
Yeah.
But bigger than a bread box.
Yep.
And what's funny is I spent all this time when I was checking in trying to get out of having these two twin beds.
Oh, you don't like it?
Yeah, but I don't know why, because I ended up, it was the only room they had still available when I got here. And it's fine. I don't need more room than that. And in fact, then I have a bed I can throw stuff on. Like, it's actually very convenient. But when I'm checking in and they're, I always want a king bed. And yet, if you were to like look at if there was memory foam and you could look at an imprint of my body,
yeah, right,
I'm taking up like 1% of the king bed. There's no purpose for me having it other than my mindset being like, well, that'll be more comfortable. I don't roll or thrash about.
When you lay down, when you first lay down, do you tend to go on one side or the other, or do you just plop right in the middle?
No, never in the middle, because Carrie and I have staked out our positions, although we recently switched.
No, I mean when you're by yourself, though.
I know, but I'm saying it's ingrained.
Yeah, right.
Like, to sleep in the middle of the bed would be very weird to me.
Yeah, like flying a kite at night.
What is that from?
I think it's a Simpsons joke. I think, like, Bart's outside flying a kite at night, and it just... He's not really doing anything wrong, but it just upsets Marge. That's my memory of it.
I can't tell you the last time I slept in the middle of a bed of any size. Even these small ones, I'm totally on the side of this twin bed that I sleep on at our house.
And you think that in the middle, like today, I will say, so if we're looking at this, if we're saying bed right.
Sure.
No, I guess like
it would actually be
house right, the way we're looking at this bed right now. Good Lord. Again, when people ask, what is your podcast about? I got to come up with an answer. I started on house right of the bed here. I woke up this morning on house left, completely on house left, by the way.
But
so I had some movement.
But within the same bed. You didn't start in one bed and go to another one.
That would be something.
That, you need medication for that.
Yeah.
If you go to sleep in one twin bed but wake up in a different twin bed in your room and you have no memory of it.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a sleepwalker, and I haven't known anybody in my family who's slept walk before. I'm going to tell a story. I think this is okay for me to say. It's a personal story, but I think it's just funny, and I don't think
it's embarrassing.
Is it a
personal story that you could tell right after this break? Or are you going to lose your nerve?
No, because that'll be too big of a deal. But my dad told me, by the way, today is my dad's birthday. Happy birthday, Bob. But he has never slept walk before, but now, like the other day, he woke up, and he was like, found himself like downstairs trying to put pants on over his night pants.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he's like, I don't know. He was just laughing about it. It was just funny.
Huh.
I wonder if he's
on like some like medication or something that's doing that to
him. Not that I know of. But he's a healthy guy. But that's interesting. I'm like, wow, maybe that will be in my future. And he didn't seem disturbed by it, which is why I think it's okay to say. If he was at all like, he just thought it was funny. He's like, I didn't quite remember it until I woke up. And then the next morning I saw those pants and I was like, oh, that's right. I have this memory of like. Because he woke up in the middle of the night and then he realized he was wearing two pairs of pants and then took off the one. And then when he woke up later on, you know, at the actual morning time, he's like, that's right. I had that whole thing that happened last night.
But what's weird is that you often wear two pairs of pants at night just for comfort.
Exactly.
So that's a family thing.
I Steve Bannon the shit out of it.
I remember a friend when I was a kid telling me a story about how they were also a kid, by the way, because otherwise the story might sound a little weird, that they found themselves peeing into the dishwasher.
Oh, no.
Peeing into the dishwasher.
That's bad for everybody.
I mean, nobody wins.
Involved.
Nobody wins in that situation.
Oh, no.
And at the time, I was like, you know what? Sleepwalking is one of those things that, and I'm sure we have listeners that sleepwalk, but it's one of those things that I think is probably fairly uncommon. But the cartoons of the world have made me think as a kid that everybody was sleepwalking.
Because
it's basically the premise of everything Yogi Bear does.
No, that is true.
And so I thought, oh, we all sleepwalk. I just haven't noticed that I'm doing it, which remains the case. I still don't sleepwalk. So when my friend told me that he was peeing in the dishwasher, I didn't think that's complicated. I thought, well, that's what happens. We're all sleepwalking all the time because I'm seeing it in every cartoon.
Yeah. I think I'm going the opposite way. I think I thought it was something really rare when I was younger, and now I sort of feel like, I wonder if a lot more people have little stories like my dad's where it's not a big deal, but like one time and a half. I bet you more people have sleepwalking stories than I used to think.
Hmm. Yeah. I'm happy to report that I have, as far as I know, yet to pee in the dishwasher. So if anybody comes over to
while you're sleeping.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, awake. Probably. Yeah. I don't know. A couple times a week. I'm good for that once, twice a year.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, I want to tell you guys about Paisley Park. I'm very excited to report on that place. So don't go anywhere. It's TBTL. Back in a minute. You know that I got on the whole thing with these guys recently? I don't mean like a thing, like we were arguing. But this is Johnny and Santos.
Mm-hmm.
They were, I think, a couple brothers who played a sort of mostly instrumental brand of music. And like, I love this song so much, Sleepwalkers.
Was this like kind of somewhere between surf and Hawaiian music, sort of?
And they have they have a bunch of albums out, and I was getting really into them, like, I don't know, a year or two ago. I'm sure I brought it up on the show.
I mean, I think I know this song just because this is a popular song. I'm sure it's been in a lot of movies and stuff, but I also vaguely remember you talking about it.
There was a Stephen King movie called Sleepwalkers that, for some bizarre reason, I saw in a theater, which was like...
But this is a long time ago as a kid, right?
Yes, but they used this song prominently, and I think it's like people turn into werewolves or something.
Werewolves turning into men. Boy, what is it? Boys becoming men, men becoming wolves. Because it is an instrumental, I got to say, it would be some perfect music to maybe...
Oh, I see where you're going here.
Thankfuls.
Oh, I thought it was going to be me talking about peeing in the dishwasher.
But, yes.
Oh, you mean thank the donors.
That's right.
Okay, yeah, let's do that. These are donors of the day. These are people that are making the show possible with their donations. We're talking about Lisa Pettick of Renton, Washington. Emily Sampson of Durham, Maine? M-E? Maine?
That's Maine.
Okay. Home of the Maine State Fair. Emily. Now, Maine, I guess, kind of does make sense. Maine is very, very rural. I mean, it's mostly rural.
Yeah. It's definitely the hardiest of the New England states.
So you're allowed to have a state fair, Emily. We declare it.
You can enjoy it.
Mark Fine. Suey of Woodland Hills, California, where a young Walt Burbank lived at one time. I don't know if you see the evidence of my dad being there or not, Mark, but thank you so much for donating to the show. Jen Zane of Seattle, Washington. Kirsten Medhurst of beautiful Fairfax, Virginia. Oh, Virginia reminds me. I think we have... I can't believe, Andrew, that I'm doing this during the donor segment, but...
I can. I don't even know what you're doing, but I can.
Somebody sent us, you know what, I don't know if we're going to have time for emails today, but somebody sent us an email that is related to what I'm about to say, in the sense that we tend to wedge so much weird content into things that are not about that content, right?
Are you talking about the music for your weekend email we
got? Was that an email or a tweet?
I think it was an email, and somebody's like, wow, you covered a lot of ground.
We did 22 minutes between saying, okay, that's the show, and then when the show ended, and it was like...
Yeah.
Anyway, this is another example of that. I was going to be on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me tomorrow night in Virginia, but now I am going to be because of some things I said that they said were kind of right on the line.
Hmm.
No, because there was some sort of scheduling snafu, And then they asked if I could do Friday night instead, and I couldn't because of some stuff I have going on back home. And so anyway, if you are going to wait at Wolf Trap tomorrow night, and I know a couple of tens had tweeted or texted me that they were going to be doing that. Sorry, I won't be there, but you're going to have a heck of a time. It's a great show. And in fact, much like you, Andrew, and I don't want to get into specifics, but you realize the hero of yours has feet of clay, possibly, at this conference, mm-hmm. a.k.a. festival.
Maybe.
Possibly.
I mean, those are your words.
Okay.
There is somebody who I enjoy on the radio.
The more you talk about it, you're going to give more specifics.
No,
I'm not trying to talk you into trouble.
No. I'm just saying Kurt Anderson cannot walk the walk. No. No, there's just somebody who is somebody that I listen to on the radio a lot, and I happened to see give a presentation at a panel that was a little less than I thought it was.
That would be me tomorrow night at Wait for these tens of listeners. Mm. So I'm glad that you guys have been spared the disillusionment of seeing me in person. But I will be in Richmond, Virginia, doing Wait in November. So I don't know if those folks want to travel to Richmond, but I will be there. I will be doing Wait in the state of Virginia before 2019 is over.
Did also, they get Chris Gethard to fill in for you?
Oh, my God.
Is he listed as TBD in the Virginia
show at
Wait?
That would be so great. He would be great at that. Also, Travis Spokes of White Plains, New York. Beautiful White Plains. I'm seeing on your screen there, Andrew, I called them Johnny and Santos. It's Santos and Johnny.
They're Santo, no S.
Really?
Santo and Johnny, according to this.
But look at underneath the album cover.
That is true, but look at the album itself.
Okay. All right, Santo and Johnny. Sorry, I got that wrong. Apologies to Santo and their family. I think that, well, whatever.
More than one Santo is actually called
okay.
Octopodes.
A slack key? A slack key?
That's a
of
slack
Santos.
Key. Of Santos.
What is it? Octopody,
I think, yeah. Santopodes.
Travis, Kirsten, Jen, Mark, Emily, and Lisa, why are you donating to this? I mean, thank you very much for your support. We could not do the show without you.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
All right, top story from my life is that yesterday, me and my friend and colleague Laura Haddon from Livewire, we went out to Paisley Park, and it did not disappoint, Andrew, on the just overall weirdness scale slash actually emotionally connecting with the idea of Prince's music.
Is Haddon also a big Prince fan?
Yes, or? Bigger than I knew. She threw a Purple Rain party in college every year, and they would show Purple Rain.
Oh, wow.
And it was apparently a big to-do. People showed up. Someone showed up with a Purple Rain tattoo.
Did anybody show up dressed up as FDR?
Yes, Steve Nelson was there, which was kind of odd because he was much older than the other people at the thing. And they were like, can someone call an RA?
Yeah, this is not.
And he's singing
okay.
about El Ropo, which hasn't even been invented yet. So there's
weird.
Just a lot going on with that. A couple things about Paisley Park. And one is that it does not look like, from the outside, whatever you think Paisley Park is going to look like, except for the fact that it's always commented upon. When you read about Paisley Park, that it doesn't look like you think Paisley Park.
So did you know
like.
That going in, or did you realize that later when you're like looking it up, being like, "Is it just me, or is this not the entrance I expected?"
I knew it because, again, everything I've read about it, and when we had my friend Andy on the show, I think he had even mentioned it that it just looks like a industrial park or something. So I had heard that, but yet when I got there, I was like, "Oh, it really is nondescript.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is." From the outside, I would go so far as to say kind of boring, which is not in line with like my thinking about Prince's whole aesthetic.
But then when you walk in, does it open up into some like elaborate like...
Yes.
Yeah, like the moment you walk through that
door.
It
makes up for it once you get inside.
Really?
But it's still definitely, as I wrote on Twitter yesterday, it still feels like the atrium when you go inside, it still feels like you're waiting for non-invasive surgery covered by most insurance, probably from an ad you heard. Either Carl Gardner or Bob Stelton reading.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Or these
Pro-Lion surgeons.
These are people that we used to work with at the commercial radio station. As a matter of fact, I hear my friend Aaron doing those now.
Oh, really?
Aaron Mason, you'll hear him say, you know, I just had back surgery at Proliance, and it was nobody. And every time I hear it, I want to text him and be like, dude, how's your back doing?
But let me just start even before I got inside to the atrium. They are very serious about the cell phone situation.
Oh, and the photo situation.
So Laura took a quick picture of me outside the building. Now, we're just in a parking lot outside of, again, this extremely nondescript thing. And no sooner had Laura taken the picture of me than a security guard who was wearing purple came out and said, we need you to power your phone off.
So even that outside photo was not really supposed to be.
It was on the line, apparently. And they said, the security guard said, we respect Prince's wishes.
Mm-hmm.
And much like when he lived here, this is a no cell phone zone or area. So apparently when Prince was alive and living in Paisley Park, you also couldn't bring a cell phone in
or something.
Not only did I have to have the cell phone powered off, then they put it in one of those lockable bags.
Oh, really? And then you
But it had to be off before I entered the building. So it was like they didn't want there to be the moment of time between walking into the building and having a cell phone that was active and putting it in the bag. I mean, they were real sticklers about it.
And it was all privacy, right? It wasn't because Prince thought that, like, electromagnetic waves were emanating from the phones and...
I mean, that doesn't not sound like a theory Prince would have. I mean, seriously, like, my guess is probably he was just an intensely private person about that stuff.
That makes sense,
but
though.
Also, he could have had some kooky beliefs about cell phones.
You know, I'll give him that because he's created this place that is a really personal space that is an extension of his very unique person. Very unique. You never say very unique, Walsh. Of his unique personality. But then he is cool enough while he was alive to open it up to the public in certain circumstances. So to say, yeah, well, I let people kind of see this side of me, and this is my place, but you have to respect my privacy.
What's amazing to me, having been in there, is just – and I say this with peace and love, and I say this as a person who is a huge fan of Prince's music. And I had forgotten how many amazing songs he wrote until I was walking through there, because it's kind of playing everywhere. There's videos on loops and things, and I just was – could not I was like, oh, that's my favorite Prince song. And then, like, another one would come on. You would walk into another room, maybe playing Raspberry Beret, and I'd be like, oh, no, that's, like, the best Prince song.
Didn't he write every Hoobastank song, too?
Yep.
Is that true?
Yep.
And you told me that. I remember you telling me that.
Yeah. And, like, four System of a Down songs and about half of Puddle of Mud.
He's so prolific.
Catalog. He really was. He had this inspiration wall made, this mural of all the people that inspired him. And then in the middle is Prince. And on the other side is all the people he thinks he inspired.
Really? Like a spectrum.
Yes. And on one side, it's like Joni Mitchell inspired Prince. But then everybody who's downriver from Prince, it's kind of – I felt like that would be a – I would be honored personally for Prince to even have known that I existed. But I would also be like, well, okay. You're just establishing with this wall that you inspired me. But it was like Apollonia, the new power generation, the family.
Yeah.
Anyway – what I can say is I love the music of Prince. I cried on this very show the day that it became public that he passed away. But I don't think I've ever seen someone with worse taste in home decorating. Mm. If we're going to call this his home, it was brutal.
You don't want to save this for the live show at the fair today so that literally have people throwing carameled apples at you?
Well, that would put – I assume there's going to be a fairly heavy MAGA contingent there, and that might put them in a real state.
Yeah, sure.
Like, which thing are we mad at right now?
Right.
Again, and by the way, I don't want to do this at the state fair because what I've already learned because of my little dumb joke on Twitter is that a couple of Minnesotans – not too many, but let's just say like less than five – but more than a bread box of Minnesotans, were kind of offended that I even made a joke about Paisley Park's nondescript exterior.
Really?
Yeah, they were like, have you ever considered that it might be because for a reason? And like, I didn't tweet
like,
back.
Have you ever considered that
it might be
you're just
joke?
Making a joke on also, Twitter? You weren't being rude. I saw it this morning, and I thought it was really funny. The only reason, just so you know, for your accounting purposes, the only reason I didn't like it by giving it a heart on Twitter was because I saw it when I was perusing the web via our TBTL account, and I thought you would be uncomfortable if TBTL was liking something that you tweeted because it would appear that you were doing it yourself.
Wow.
Sorry, that was not interesting.
No, it is to me deeply. Listen, there's no such thing as a bad like. I'll take it. I'll take it where I can get it. But people were kind of just a couple people like were giving me a little bit of grief, and then people were liking. A couple people were liking the tweet that was like, "Have you ever considered it might be for a reason?"
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, the
was
reason
that a listener? You think?
No, it's someone who follows. No, actually, you know what? Chris Hayes was interacting with the tweet, which opens it up to a whole other resist verse.
Sure,
Again, I'm in line. Mm-hmm. I'm in line with Chris's listeners politically, but boy, that is a view into what it's like when you're actually famous. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if Chris even pokes at one of our tweets,
yeah,
there's like an extra couple hundred people that their whole Twitter account is about resisting.
Yeah,
and they have, in my experience, not a super developed sense of humor about
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, saying, have you ever considered that might be for a reason? I'm like, yeah, because Prince's taste was whack.
So tell me more about his whack taste interior.
Well, okay. First of all, amazingly messianic complex.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you look, there are these like murals of Prince being basically Jesus.
Mm.
There is a, when you go into the lobby, you stand, as they're getting you ready for the tour, you sort of stand in this hallway that has a bunch of, you know, Grammys and awards and things framed and on the wall. By the way, this is a museum about Prince, so I get it that he's featured prominently.
But it was also like that when he lived there. That's the funny thing.
And if you look up on this kind of thing that's above the door, it is just a picture of people. Prince isn't in it, but it's people who I guess are – maybe they were at a Prince show, but it's weird because the photo, it's very well lit. I mean, it's very bright in the photo. It looks like they're in a mega church, and they're reaching their hands out.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks like they just took a picture of people worshiping at a mega church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just on above the door for some reason, mm-hmm. which, again, I think the idea behind it was let's have a picture of fans. They probably are at a Prince event, but it appears for all the world like you are in the offices of a mega church somewhere mm-hmm. in Dallas. Again, Texas is taking a real beating on the mm-hmm. show today. I apologize. But it was – and then the other thing is he wanted these murals and these like quotes from himself on the walls. But what somebody did – this is I guess what I'm trying to say. I was fascinated by how much of a perfectionist Prince was, and I think that's reflected in his music and how, in my opinion, genius his music is. But he apparently said to someone, and I'll spare you the Prince impression. You'll know when I'm doing mm-hmm. it. He basically said to someone, like, I want these like lyrics from a song or these quotes from me. I want them really enlarged and painted on this wall. And someone thought, well, it'd be easier if we just print this out on like a laser printer from 1999 so that when you print it out, it's all kind of – it's all pixelated. It's like a little bit pixelated.
Oh.
Like imagine just not great printer technology and then let's put it on the wall.
But it's not hanging on the wall. It's actually wall.
It's like a giant – you know, sticker basically, mm-hmm. like a But it's because when he had this done, printing technology was not as good as it is today.
You know, it'd be so awesome if it was like a dot matrix banner. Did you make banners when you were in?
Yes, it was one step up from that. And what's amazing to me is Prince, the like perfectionist that he was, walked in and looked at it and was like, "That's good."
Mm-hmm.
Like it's so.
Was that the impression?
Nope. You'll know when I'm doing it. It's so, like, just looking at it, it's so rinky-dink. And uh-huh. then just, like, everywhere you would look in there would be these – I mean, again, it's maybe for some of the listeners, they love this, like, this vibe or this aesthetic. But it's just, like, imagine your 59-year-old aunt who recently went through a divorce and is getting her groove back and just mm-hmm. wants everything to be purple.
Yeah.
Is – someone gave her $10 million and said, decorate. That's what this place is.
I shouldn't lead you in this direction. Of course, why the hell do I care? I can't get in trouble here. I wasn't there.
Wow.
I think he's wonderful. But
yeah.
Did everything sort of have a thinness or a cheapness to it?
I was expecting that, and it actually didn't.
Okay, so that's good. It didn't seem like, oh, this is a bunch of luxurious kind of stuff that is tacked up on some cheap framing. Like,
nope.
It seemed like a good quality place.
The place seemed to be high quality.
Good.
But I was wondering about that, because one of the things people will say is if you ever go to, like, the Playboy Mansion,
they
always talk
imagine,
about how dingy it was. Mm. And so I could see that, but that didn't appear to be the case. It wasn't that things were cheap.
It was called the Grotty Grotto.
Yep.
Sorry.
It's that it was not my style. By the way, Also, in so you go through that hallway, you see the various awards and stuff. There are these murals that are printed out, or these kind of wall writings. Then you go into the atrium, which is kind of the center of it's hard to describe, but basically you go into this atrium area, and you look up on this like walkway, elevated walkway, where there are doves, like a lot, like live doves that live in a cage that apparently have lived there. Or their offspring.
Oh, they're in cages, though? How big are the cages?
A dove cage?
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Like how? Like,
because I was wondering if they were just loose in the atrium. What is the word, though?
Aviary?
Aviary is where you can just have birds go fly around in your...
Yeah, they were in a cage, but not like a tiny cage. Like a pretty large habitat for them. What was funny was the woman leading the tour, who was adorable. She was a grandmother. Her hair was dyed purple.
Oh, wow.
She was really pumped to be there, and she was lovely. But she kept accidentally quoting Prince songs. She said something like, nothing compares. She goes, and we're so excited to have you here at Paisley Park, and I'm just, nothing compares to, and I looked at Laura and I went, you? Because like, that's a song Prince does, nothing compares to you. And then she goes, and you can hear the doves making noise. They'll coo, they'll laugh. And I was like, do they cry?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she kept like getting right up to the edge of Prince songs.
But she
like,
didn't say cry.
And she didn't realize she was doing it.
Right.
It was not for effect.
Right.
Like, how do you not make a doves cry reference when you're pointing to the live doves that live in Paisley Park?
Right. I don't know. Too easy. Maybe she's like, I'm not taking that low-hanging fruit.
Well, I would.
Yeah.
I have not leading that tour.
I know you would. But this woman has a modicum of self-respect.
So then you go into the atrium, and you one of the places apparently Prince loved to hang out was something called the Little Kitchen. Which is, like, just imagine the most nondescript, like, kitchen at a workplace. Like, the place where you want to spend as little time as possible.
Mm-hmm. Not like an industrial, like, behind-the-scenes kitchen, but like the office kitchen.
Like, literally,
a coffee maker,
maybe kind of vaguely, plate. Kind of vaguely 1950s diner. There was a couple
of like
booths,
that. Okay.
But not consistent, because this was just, like, nothing was consistent in this place. Couple of little booths, a TV where he would watch Minnesota Lynx games. He was obsessed with the Minnesota Lynx. When the Minnesota Lynx won the WNBA championship, he brought them to Paisley Park.
Oh, cool.
He played a concert for them, and then when the concert was over, he cooked them pancakes.
Nice. That's right out of the Chappelle show.
It is like
or Chappelle's show.
He loved basketball, and apparently we went into this one room that was kind of like the Purple Rain room, I guess, although what we found out was it had been made that way for the museum aspect. It had previously been a basketball court where Prince would play basketball.
So it's all true.
But I'm a little worried by something.
Yeah.
The ceilings, I don't know if they dropped the ceilings. The ceilings seemed kind of low-ish for basketball. Like they weren't, I would say the ceilings were, I don't know, 20 feet. They were high ceilings.
Mm-hmm.
But anyone who actually plays basketball will tell you that if you want to put up a decent jump shot, you got to have some arc.
Mm-hmm.
And like anytime as a kid, I would show up somewhere and it'd be like they would have a school would have a gym or like a half court gym, but the ceiling would be low. I'd be like, this is not made by basketball players, because they would know that you need a lot of, you know. So it's like they were like, Prince loved basketball. And then they're like, this is where he would play basketball. Sometimes I was like, I don't know if the ceilings are high enough.
Well, maybe he was – maybe he – it's tougher to play in that environment, so maybe like when he got into a real court, he was even better, you know.
Or
he had
just,
to learn how to make the angle. On
sure.
His...
Or he just like took it to the hoop, you know, like that was his game. He would drive the ball and just fi slam a jamma.
Mm-hmm. He was a little guy, right?
He was apparently, and that was also on display was all of his outfits. And guy never met, you know, an 8-inch heel, heeled boot.
Right. What does Tonight pants look like?
Oh. So many sequins. You would not have enjoyed these Tonight pants. I did go in his personal office, Andrew, and here's something. Next to his desk where he worked, and again, I can't even like begin to describe the decor nightmare that his office was. Like, again, I keep saying this, but it's just because it's true. I love Prince. I'm not trying to run him down. My mind is blown at just how bad to me the decorating was, but that doesn't mean I don't love him and his music. I cried at the end when I was watching in the gift shop his Super Bowl halftime performance.
Oh yeah.
Like, and I didn't I kind of went and stood by some t-shirts and some Sign of the Times gloves because I didn't want people to see that I was tearing up watching Prince play the Super Bowl. I put that out there so people know that I'm not trying to just be a jerk. That being said, in his personal office where his desk was this like bizarre like it's like a metal. It was like a semicircle of metal that had been like someone had taken a power sander to it, but then put some kind of weird rainbow patina into the metal. Like it was like dyed metal that would be from some angles glinting rainbowy-ish colors. He had a table next to his desk, and on the table were these three abstract jazz characters that were the exact ones my mom once gave me. My mom had picked up some jazz characters presumably at a thrift store or garage sale. They weren't my style, and then she found them in a drawer at my house and was kind of bummed out.
Right, yeah.
Prince voluntarily, he saw those and he thought, those are amazing, and I don't just want those to be somewhere in Paisley Park. I want those to be next to me at my desk. I want to look at them for inspiration.
Didn't he also have a little drawing of two cherubs playing putt-putt?
No, it was an angel watching two guys playing golf.
Sorry.
The angel's bare buttocks.
I also like to picture him at this giant desk in this weird place just like playing Free Cell or Minesweeper because it's just been a long – he just needs to zone out for a second.
There was – by the way, there was a – there was what do you call it, a spindle – of like CD, like CDs on his desk.
Uh-huh.
I honestly think that they kind of came in and just found more or less
left it. I like that,
which is a cool idea.
Yeah.
But I like the idea that Prince at one point was burning CDs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other things from his office. The jazz characters really blew my mind.
And there's three of them. They're all in the same stand or bass together. I'm just kind of picturing them being kind of wiry looking.
Exactly.
Abstract.
Like one.
I don't know.
Like,
I've never seen it. I just have this vague idea.
Yeah, and your vague idea is actually pretty spot on.
Yeah.
They're just kind of like – they're not, you know, super specific figures. Mm-hmm. They're kind of shapes, and one's kind of playing like an upright bass, and one's got something that's like a horn type of deal. And again, it just it's hilarious to me because it's like I just imagine Prince being somewhere. Now, maybe somebody gave it to him.
Yeah.
But this was in a place of
maybe
honor.
Maybe your mom gave it to him.
Oh, my God. If my mom knew Prince this whole time.
Go check your drawer. What if it's gone?
Oh, my God. I was looking for a Susie drop, but I won't delay things by trying to find that. So then we proceed into what I thought was really the coolest part of the tour, which was actually where he recorded a ton of his music. It's called Studio A.
Okay.
And you know what it looks like, Andrew?
Does it look like Studio 1A?
No, it looks like Studio P that we use
I believe
at
it.
American Public Media, almost down to the, like, I mean, same parquet floor.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know if there's
same wooden sound buffering.
Yeah, I don't know if there's, like, one company in Minnesota that does these things, but I swear to God, whoever built Studio P probably built Studio A at Paisley Park. It was almost, I mean, it was nicer. The Paisley Park one was like ridiculously cool, but there was like it was very similar.
I believe that, and I would not be surprised to hear that it could have been the same firm, because I mean, I also know that there's like basically one firm or maybe two that design all the new public radio stations too. So that's why if you go to WBUR and then you go into a new one that's being built somewhere else, you'll be like, this seems familiar. This is a question that gets you off topic a little bit, but I have a question for you. Does it seem to you that more people just know about public radio here in the Twin Cities than anywhere else? That, like, it just seems like there's so much more exposure to radio here. And I can't tell if it's because I work for the company, but like when I worked in New Hampshire or other places, or obviously LA, big public radio presence there, but it doesn't feel like it's a dominant cultural force. It seems like if you're into it, you're into it. Whereas here, I just feel like every car I get into is playing one of the three stations, whether it's the current or the new station or occasionally classical. I feel like there's just because Minnesota Public Radio and American Public Media are such a big organization in a relatively small couple of cities, there's just a lot more like radio things happening. Do you get that impression at all?
I guess I haven't tested that theory. Like, I haven't talked to very many people who aren't here as part of the PRPD. So I can't give a good kind of response to that. I will say that a lot of times rural, like states that have a lot of kind of rural communities, like public radio becomes, even though it's sort of MAGA country, public radio is also still a big part of it. Like my ex is from Iowa, which is why I've been to the Iowa State Fair. And people in Iowa know about public radio because a lot of times you live on a farm somewhere and it's like back in the day, it's one of the few stations that you even got. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I think that when you're talking about like a rural place, the radio plays a pretty big role.
Yeah. I don't know. I also think like St. Paul, I know they don't think they own it anymore, but the way, like, Minnesota Public Radio has that connection to the Fitzgerald Theater. They used to own it. And mm-hmm. so, and that's also just a place that's a performing arts center. So it just sort of seems like the MPR-ness of this place is kind of sewn into the fabric. But again, I have a weird perspective on things. And also, this has nothing to do with Prince. So my apologies.
Oh, that's right. We may have had enough Prince talk at this point. So I did see the Inspiration Wall, or which again was in a very Prince.
What was in the Inspiration Wall? It wasn't, this isn't his quote. This is things that actually inspired him.
No, it's that thing where it was that timeline of like Prince in the middle.
Oh,
in
a very, the people.
Like,
oh,
Jesus,
the people
he posed.
Inspired.
Yeah, and that, so that was when you came out of Studio A. You saw this Inspiration Wall, and it was funny because the woman doing the tour, who was awesome, as I've already mentioned, she. It was funny because like she's just a loves Prince. That's, I don't know if this is a volunteer position or if she gets paid, but she obviously was very into Prince. Her hair was dyed purple. But she didn't really like, she would say, she would reference like When Doves Cry with the same amount of enthusiasm as she would reference the fifth song off of the Under the Cherry Moon soundtrack. Like, she did not differentiate between what I think of as like Prince's best work and like, oh, Prince, you probably should have thought that one through more. Like, Prince is, he was so prolific that, like, some of his songs were amazing, but some of them were, you know, pretty forgettable. Or, again, like, it was great to hear her talk about everything related to Prince. She had the same level of enthusiasm.
And it was a high enthusiasm. At first, yes. I thought you meant that everything was a little bit humdrum.
No.
But no, everything was.
Yeah. She would, I can't give a good example because I don't know these, like, very, very deep cuts by Prince, but she would talk about those with equal enthusiasm. She'd be like, and this is where he was standing when he thought of, you know, and then like insert like
track two of Bat Dance.
Oh, by the way, recorded in Studio A.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought of you when I was in there. You know, Prince, he would sit down when he recorded his vocals.
Oh, that surprises me.
Yeah.
Got to open up that diaphragm, Prince.
Dazzle.
Imagine how successful he would have been if he had just stood.
So anyway, we got out of Studio A. We went through a variety of other rooms. We saw this crazy piano that he had built that was, or at least was like a custom thing. I don't know. There's only a few of them. There was like a $150,000 piano that was like a car, and the hood, like the top of the piano, he could open it like a hood of a car, but he had a hydraulic thing for it.
Oh, wow.
He just had all this like weird, you know, Prince shit. And then we went into this huge like performance space, which is like a sound stage, which is, I think, where Andy and other people must have been when they saw, like, you know,
the parties.
The parties. They were called dance parties. We learned about those. He would just decide to have these dance parties and just be like, people, come on out.
Yeah.
And then, you know.
That's what I was trying to describe yesterday, where it seems like everybody's got some sort of a story of hanging out. And then I got a text from my friend who said, we're going.
So this performance space, I forget what it's called, but it was massive. It was like you could have built a Boeing jet in there. And that was where apparently they shot like, Graffiti. I forgot that Prince made like five movies. I think of Purple Rain because he won an Oscar for Purple Rain, I learned, for the soundtrack. But then he just made a series of movies after that were kind of like less popular, like Under the Cherry Moon.
Never heard of it.
Graffiti Bridge.
Never heard of it.
And I'm forgetting. I think Graffiti Bridge, the story was some film studio gave him a bunch of money to make Purple Rain 2, and he didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, yeah, I'm going to make this is Purple Rain 2, but then it's just a musical, and it was all shot pretty much in this soundstage.
And it's actually called Purple Rain 2?
No, it's called Graffiti Bridge.
Oh, that's Graffiti
he
Bridge.
Got the money.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah,
got the money to make Purple Rain 2.
Good for him.
Yeah, but they were showing a clip of it. It looked rough.
Yeah.
It was like, you can tell this is like, I guess the thing with Prince is it's like he's a genius. And so when he would, you know, when he would go his own way or zig when they were telling him to zag, sometimes it was just what he created was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it wouldn't have killed him to listen to everybody else.
Yeah, right.
Like you're watching, like in the woman giving, this was, she was like, the sound, she was like, Graffiti Bridge was light on plot. But, I was like, someone told you to say that.
Light on plot.
Light on plot is, you could describe TBTL that way.
Yep.
Light on plot.
I think I will.
But, but anyway, so we were seeing clips of all these things, and then we exited through the gift shop as is custom, and they were showing the Super Bowl halftime show, and I did get a little emotional.
But you were emotional though because that was the one where the Seahawks lost to the Steelers.
Yeah, that's why.
No, I'm just kidding. That was it. That game?
No, it was in Florida. So. But I forgot how hard it was raining.
Yeah, no, no, that was the whole, one of the reasons I know about it, because that little mini documentary about it.
Yeah, Rain Harder.
Can you make it rain harder?
And that she gave us that speech on the way out, too. I thought that's actually kind of, I know that I'm always looking for a mantra, but like I thought that's actually kind of a good mantra, too. Like, just in the sense of like when things aren't going great, is there a way to just like, is there a way to sort of lean into that, I guess?
Well, we might find out at the fair today. I think the weather's supposed to be clear, but it was apparently.
Can you make it fry harder?
Show title, ring your bell, ring your bell.
Oh, yeah, got it.
It was hailing, or sleet or hail. I get those confused. Hailing. It was hailing at the fair yesterday.
What?
I heard this on Morning Edition on Minnesota Public Radio today. They were saying that there were like images of people shoveling. It almost looked like a snowstorm there. What? It didn't hail here in Minneapolis so far that I noticed, but the weather was so freaking weird yesterday. Were you outside much?
A little bit, and I was walking home from dinner where, by the way, I did, as I mentioned in the open of the show, I did return for my vegetarian lasagna, and as I was walking home, I did get rained on a little bit.
Yeah, it's like it would be really, really sunny and nice, and then it would be like suddenly it would start like kind of misting and raining, and then the winds kicked up. Our friend Amy Wu and I were walking. We left. Oh, man, there's this really cool – there's actually two really cool old school kind of steakhouses behind our hotel here, which I know that's not your scene, but like the perfect place to sit at the bar and have a martini, which I did. And we came out of this bar and literally almost blew us over. Like the wind was, not felt wind like that in a long time.
At Paisley Park, the wind was ripping.
Yeah, that must have felt like magical, sort of.
It totally did. I'll end the story here. So Had and I, we go through this whole, you know, tour and whatever, and we were both like, pretty into it, and also both kind of marveling at how sort of not our style out of the decorating was. And then all of a sudden you come out and it's blindingly sunny out still, because this is probably like 4:30 in the afternoon, and the wind was blowing so hard, and you're in a parking lot where there's puddles of water because it had been raining, but now it's sunny, next to this weird industrial building. And Laura was like, did we go back in time?
Yeah.
Is he still alive? Is this a portal? It just felt like you'd emerged from some weird like time tunnel or something.
I could imagine that. Let me one last question on this. What was the rest of the group like? Like, how big was the group of people that you're going around with?
There was probably about 12 other people, and we did a like kind of around the horn before we got started. The tour guide asked us where we're all from.
Okay.
There was one woman who was from the area. There was a couple from England with their kid. There was a woman from Germany solo. There was a guy from Washington, D.C. who I'm not how do I put this? I'm not sure that he wasn't Omar from The Wire.
Oh.
I mean, I literally am not sure of that. He looked
really
very much like him, but I didn't want to bring it up.
When he walked into a room, did anybody yell Omar coming?
You know what? They did do that right before.
I'll bet you that was him.
He looked very much like the actor who plays Omar.
Really? I can't think of his name right now.
Michael something or other.
In a long time. He's great.
And this guy, I mean, really, like, I was very – you know how we talked yesterday, I think, on the show about how kind of you think you have a little face blindness?
Yeah, I do.
I have a pretty good sense of people, and based
you
on
you spotted fame. Andrew Bird. We didn't even know he was going to be at the festival. You're like, I think I saw Andrew Bird on what, the ferry or something.
Yeah.
And then the next day you're like, confirmed. That was the Bird Man.
It was. Bird's the word. Mm-hmm. I didn't even tell you about my interaction with him and his family.
Ooh, is it interesting?
Well, I don't know, but let's just go for it. I ran into him at Artist Check-In, and I'm such a fan of his music. But also, he has this kind of really cool house in L.A., that he and his wife, they're very designy, as you'd be probably not surprised to learn. And I think it was in like Dwell magazine or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I see him and I'm like, okay, I really want to say hi to Andrew Bird. And on the maybe off chance that I could, like, we hit it off and then maybe he'll be on, you know, on Livewire at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So I go talk to him and I say, hey, are you Andrew? I'm Luke Burbank. I'm doing a podcast here at the festival. Big fan of your music. And I said, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, I'm playing with John C. Reilly. I was like, oh, cool. And then I met his wife and I met his kid. And then I said, your guys' house is really awesome. And they both looked horrified.
Oh, no.
And I was like, oh, no, because it was in Dwell magazine.
Did they remember it or did they still
Andrew
seem
Burt
put
did
off?
Not appear to, but his wife did and she laughed. And
okay.
But I was like, and then I just, after saying that, I went, I know that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Back away.
It's a lot to download when you just met me.
Did you just Homer Simpson it back into the bushes?
I did. I just went into a hedge. I mean, he was totally nice, but he struck me as the kind of person who is like very polite and nice, but not super socially outgoing.
Yeah, sure.
Which you wouldn't be surprised.
And you could have just tweaked that a little bit. Like if you could do it over, you could have just said, by the way, I read, you know, a few years back, I read that spread that they had in Dwell Magazine about your house. So beautiful. Man.
I love
you still have that place.
I love your third bathroom. It's great for sleeping while you're out of town.
I got to say, you make a great argument for a half bath. I never saw it before, but now I get it. I don't want to rush you, but I know that you're an important man. You're already leaving your next panel early so that you can get to the fair.
Yes.
Now, I don't want you to be late for it.
In the words of Krungbin, yes. That's what I realized when I saw Krungbin at the Thing Festival. I'm sorry, the Thing Conference was that, you know, there's not a lot of lyrics, and there's like that song that you like, Evan Finds the Third Room.
Yep, you played that for me. I loved it.
The bass player, she kind of in the song, she kind of says yes.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah,
but it makes perfect sense in the recorded version of the song, like when you're listening to it in your whatever house. It's a little weirder on stage because it's so spare. And I have to say, Carrie came to that show and she was kind of like not fully on board with the Krungbin vibe.
The sound was a lot different. They didn't have as much of a rich, big sound live.
No, it sounded good, but it's just weird to watch somebody. It's a little bit of a different experience to watch a mostly instrumental song where then one person's job is just to say yes every like 4 minutes.
And
once.
Does she play an instrument while she's doing this?
She's,
okay, that,
yes. Yes. She's playing bass.
Good. Now we know exactly how long the delay is.
Nobody gets that joke except me. Yes.
We're in the same room. Okay. I had an idea. You were talking about little known Prince songs, and all I could think of was like, what's like a deep track or like an unknown song that's on the Batman soundtrack? Can we play like, I don't even know, like Electric Chair is one of them, or The Arms of Orion?
In the arms of Orion, fly away from him. No.
Is that a Bible one?
No, that's In the Arms of the Angels.
Oh, okay.
I like the Sarah McLachlan song that's always playing when dogs are being abused.
Oh,
on TV.
Man. We have something called Party Man. I think I know that one. That's the one where the Joker goes into the museum, right? And starts dancing around and slashing the. I know that movie really well.
You really do. Yeah. I forgot that.
Let's go out with that.
Okay. I like it. Okay. Well, that's it for the show then. Let me just say this.
Okay.
If you are a fan of Prince, go to Paisley Park. It is fascinating and really cool. Like standing in that Studio A and knowing that was where Prince would like hang out and make music was a powerful experience for me, more so than I expected. And all of my criticism about the decorating is that's just, you know, he and I just had different, you know, aesthetics or whatever about decorating.
But you still respected each other.
That was the important thing. I think he let me be me and I let him be
right,
him.
And that was
a good thing. So anyway, I would highly recommend. Although it is $57.
Wow, that's not cheap, man.
And that's the lowest level of tour. We got the 1 hour tour. I guess there's like you can pay more and you can like, I don't know, be in there for like days or something.
Really?
But yeah. So, all right. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to this long, long, long description of the inside of Paisley Park and whatever else we did today. I have to go to this conference meeting, and then we do have to go to the State Fair to record a show, which you'll hear on Friday. So I guess I would say enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, everybody. We'll be back here tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio. This is a good song. Man.
Can you picture the scene now in Batman?
Yes, I can.
It's very evocative.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I totally remember this.
He's putting green paint on the paintings.
Yes.
Yes.
All right, thanks for listening, folks. We'll be back here tomorrow. Till then, please remember, no mountain too tall.
Bon voy.
Oh, we didn't talk about that.
pictures, please.
Power out.